and welcome. Prepare your heart as we dive into the Word of God. Our desire at Beloved Church in Lena, Illinois, is to lead you into a life-changing encounter with grace and truth. Jesus Christ has a divine destiny perfectly orchestrated for those who are willing to be adventurous enough to receive His favor and blessing into their life. Our prayer is that you will allow the presence of the comforting Spirit of God to radically display the Father's love for you. You are a part of God's beloved family, and that means you are greatly loved. Now over to our guest minister for today.
This is a second home to us. And when Pastor Steve, who's a wonderful man of God, great integrity, asked me to be his pastor, I knew what that meant. I don't know if he for sure knew what it meant, but I knew what it meant. I had to be a father. I had to be a father. Not just that, well, I'm your pastor and you do what I tell you. Whatever I say, you do it. I had to be a father to him. I had to understand from the Lord that this was Him connecting us. And I prayed about it, and I knew it was. So, as a father and a mother, Pastor Stephen Kay, it makes us a papa to you. So, Dorothy and I's love for you is as grandparents. And when we heard about Miss Tabby, it was like a grandparent losing, not losing, but seeing one of your loved ones go up there and be a Jesus, which is awesome. The timing wasn't exactly what we thought it should be. But for Dorothy and I to be here this weekend, God had it all planned out. And He's given me a message that I had never preached before, never heard it before, never understood it before, about the shortest verse in the whole Bible is Jesus wept. And the Holy Spirit's going to give an understanding of what that means to us. And it's going to be awesome. It's going to be awesome. I will say this. Yesterday, Dorothy and Kay whooped Steve and I like a 2-year-old in Walmart playing sequence. They showed no mercy. No regrets. So they were happy campers. Even though I'm supposed to be the papa, Kay whooped us really bad. But Steve and I are getting over it, and we'll get revenge. I am greatly looking forward to our Koinonia this afternoon. I was so glad when I heard you were doing all that and get to go back to the Ark and just fellowship. We just love fellowshipping with people. And because we're family. And the Holy Spirit came to bring koinonia. That we walk in the love of God and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, but we walk in the koinonia of the Spirit. And the world can't have that. They can have all, like last night we walked up there and had a blueberry and cherry pie, and people are out there. It was a wonderful fellowship of a small community. But that's not this kind of fellowship. Because that's fellowship without the Holy Spirit. And that's good. Fellowship's always good. But we have the koinonia of the Spirit that we can only us Christians can have. So the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts, so we can have koinonia in a love that the world doesn't have. And by the way, it's just a foretaste of eternity. That forever we're going to be fellowshipping with each other. And I don't think you play games in heaven, so Dorothy and Kay can't. That side of glory. Your pastors are such gracious hosts to us, Dorothy and I. They bless us. They spoil us. They won't let me pay for anything. They just embarrass me sometimes. They bless us so much. But I'm telling you, you have a very man and woman of God with great integrity. And they do love you. They love you so much. And so we're privileged to be here at this time. For Crager, for your pastors, for you as a congregation. Because we know how wonderful Tabby is. She's even more wonderful. Because like Pastor says, she's out of this evil world now. And so look at John chapter 11. And I've heard that you heard this before on Friday about Martha and Mary and the resurrection. But immediately when I heard about Tabitha, Miss Tabby, the Lord spoke to me just in my heart. He said, I wept. And I'm going to show you what it means. I'd never heard this before, but all of a sudden it began to bring healing even to me. And it's going to bring healing to you, not only over Tabitha, Miss Tabby, who's gone home, but you who have lost loved ones also, or you've gone through separation, divorce, you've gone through hard things that has really been hurtful and painful. You're going to experience freedom today because Jesus wept. And you're going to see what that means. And you're going to not only see it, I like that song, you feel him. Now, I have no greater feeling than when I feel Jesus, when I feel the presence of the Holy Spirit. And I don't go by my earthly feelings, but I want to tell you right now, I go by my heavenly feelings. And it feels good to have the Holy Spirit with you. It feels good to have Jesus and the Father with you. That's a good feeling I think will be forever. So I love to live by my heavenly feelings, which is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Those are good things, right? Because without faith, feelings destroy people's lives. Earthly feelings. But when I'm living by faith and literally living in God's presence, it feels good. I mean, it feels real good. It feels gooder than anything the world can ever offer you. The greatest thing we have on this side of heaven is the presence of God. And God's presence doesn't make us sad. It's righteousness, peace, and joy. Pastor Bob was sharing this morning those two scriptures. Ephesians 1 or 2 are two of my favorite scriptures. And I have it right. I have a chair where I just kneel and spend time with the Lord and write. And the scripture is Ephesians 5, 1 and 2. I love those scriptures because I love to imitate the Father. And I love to be able to have the grace of the love of Jesus for others. Because love is not measured this way. As Bob said, it's measured this way. You want to know how much somebody loves Jesus? How much do they love you? You want to know how humble someone is? How humble are they towards you? That's the true test of whether you're walking with God or not. Are you like Him? Because if you're going to imitate the Father, it means you're going to be like the Father. And if you're going to walk in love as Christ loved us, then people are going to know that you've been with Jesus. Who you hang out with is who you become like. That's who you identify with. But when you hang out with the Lord Himself through love, prayer, fasting, obedience, people will know that you've been with Him. You can say you love Jesus all you want, but I want to know how much you love me, because that's going to tell me how much you love Him. You see, what you do to the least in of God's children, that would mean like a brand new born-again baby. But however you treat another brother or sister is the way you're treating Jesus, because that's His body. And I want to tell you something, He takes it personal. I stubbed my toe a few nights ago, and my whole body took it personal. I mean, the second little toe by my little toe is all black and blue now. And my body notices it. How many of you have stubbed your toe? You know what I'm talking about, right? That little toe is pretty important. When you and I bruise a brother or sister, Jesus takes it personal. Because that's His body. That's pretty good, isn't it? Because see, here's the thing. We have the grace to do it. And when we live in grace, all of grace can flow through us, and we walk in that rhythm of grace, as Pastor Sheriff says. But in that rhythm of grace is love for one another. And God has a remnant of people like you and pastors like Steve and Kay that will not bow, will not burn. Will not, and you know that what price He paid. But He set the church free by a court decision saying, you can't do that. You can't shut churches down like that. He paid the price for that. Thank God. Kind of like Jesus did. He paid the price for this. And we're going to rise up. God is going to raise His church up. Great revival is coming. We will be strong. We will prevail. And the wicked will be put down. You watch. Don't be fretful. Don't be concerned about it. Just watch what God's doing. It's going to be awesome. So here in John chapter 11 and verse 14. Now, Jesus heard about Lazarus, and He waited 4 days until they come back and said, Lazarus is dead. Now, Jesus said this to His disciples in verse 14. Then Jesus told them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And for your sake, I am glad that I was not there, so that you may believe, but let us go to him. Now, they knew Jesus as the healer. And Jesus was saying, if I'd have went to Lazarus, I would have had to heal him, because I'm the healer. But the Father now is wanting the people to see Jesus, not just as the healer, but as resurrection and life. So Jesus was going to go, and he went, to show the people now something about himself they had never known before. That is, he is the resurrection and the life. So he came to show them a greater revelation of who he is. Yes, he's the healer. They knew him as the healer. Now he's going to reveal himself as the resurrection and life, bringing a greater revelation. So he had to let Lazarus die so that he could bring a greater revelation of resurrection. That's why he said, it's for your sake I wasn't there. Because I could not reveal myself as the resurrection and life if I'd have went, because I would have had to heal Lazarus. And I've learned this in my life, still learned it. There are times in my life when things don't seem quite the way they should be, but God's getting ready to show me a greater revelation of who he is. In every situation, we've all been, if you've lived at all, and I believe you're all alive, we've all gone through traumatic times, hard times, difficult times. But every time I've gone through those times, God reveals himself greater than I knew before I went into that situation. Why? Because he set me free from it. Amen. We are more than conquerors. And Paul said, God has delivered him out of all the situations he was in. So you learn with the Lord, whatever you're going through, you're going to go through it with victory. It's like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. When they came out of the fire, the only thing that was gone was what bound them, and they didn't even smell like smoke. When you barbecue something, you smell like a barbecue, right? Because that smoke gets on you. Well, it says they didn't have the smell of smoke on them. What did that mean? It means they came out of a situation that did not affect them. And when a lot of people go through the fire, they have the smell of smoke on them because all they can talk about is how bad it was in the fire. Right. And they forget about, hey, the chains are gone. I've been set free from that. We had a pastor's conference in our church that another lady had hosted a conference. And I was the last speaker, and they all got mad at me. Because all week long, all I heard was one pastor after another get up and say, oh, you brother, it is so bad, I've lost these people. That's all I heard. And I got up and I said, you know what? I smell a lot of smoke in this place. I made them mad. They were mad at me. I said, all I've heard from you this week, yeah, you've been in the fire, but Shadrach, Meshach, they had no smell of smoke on them. And I said, all I've heard is smoke this week. I mean, they got mad at me. And the Lord, for some reason, was just anointing me with joy, and I was joyful and happy, and I said, listen, we've all been through fires, but praise God, we came out because the fourth man was with us in the fire. And we came out victorious because of Jesus. And praise God, I don't smell like smoke anymore. I had a great experience in the fire. Jesus got in there with me. And right in the midst of that fire, he came and praise God, I had victory right in the middle of the fire. So when I come out, the only thing that was missing was what bound me. And that's how you come out and live in faith. So Jesus was told his disciples, I'm glad you weren't there. I couldn't go for your sake. So he goes and talks to Martha. And we know how they dialogued. She said, yes, I know you're the Christ. I know that there's going to be a resurrection. He said, Martha, I am the resurrection. Apparently, there's more to the conversation, because when Martha said, "He stinks," and Jesus said, "Didn't I tell you if you believed, you'd see the glory of God?" So there's a little bit more to that conversation. But he was trying to tell her that, yes, I'm the resurrection and the life now, because her thoughts were always future. Jesus said, "No, I am the resurrection, Martha. Today, you're going to experience that." But she believed on him. He loved her, but she still couldn't quite get it in her thinking. I mean, she believed in a future resurrection, but she couldn't get it in her heart and mind that today she was going to experience resurrection. And so then she goes and tells her sister Mary. Now, here's an experience with both of them. Martha went and said, "Lord, if you'd have been here, my brother would not have died." But she didn't worship him. She stood to his face, and she almost had an accusative, "Well, Lord, if you'd have been here, my brother would be alive, and because you weren't here, he's dead." That was her attitude. In other words, like, why weren't you here? You would have been here, he wouldn't be dead today. I believe that was Martha's attitude. But then watch what happened when Mary came. This is so beautiful. Up here in verse 28. And this is about Martha. "When she had said all this, she went and called her sister Mary, saying quietly, 'The teacher is here and is calling to you.'" Now I want you to catch this word. Jesus never called for Martha. He called for Mary. I'll tell you why that's important. Remember when Jesus went to their house, Martha's serving, Mary's at his feet, and Martha says, "Lord, don't you see I need help?" And, you know, and Jesus said, "Oh, Martha, you're so distracted." Mary has chosen the good part that will not be taken from her. So you have a picture of the flesh and a picture of the spirit. That's what you see here. Jesus never speaks to your flesh. He speaks to your spirit. And he calls you through your spirit. He calls you. He doesn't call you through your flesh, because your flesh can't go to him except in unbelief, like Martha went to him. Am I making sense? So when you and I are in the flesh, and our emotions and all this kind of stuff, and even mad at him for things that we thought he shouldn't be doing, he doesn't hear you because your flesh is dead. It's when your spirit and your heart out of your spirit, he hears you. And he calls you. He doesn't call you through your flesh. He calls you through your spirit. So here Jesus said, Martha said, "The teacher, the master is calling for you." And when Mary heard it, she arose quickly and went to him. Now watch, look at this dialogue here. Martha, for some reason, knew he was there, and she went to him. But when Mary went to him, she did not go until he called her. Your flesh sometimes will try and encounter God, because you're either upset with him or you don't understand something, because your flesh is all about you. Your spirit's all about God and others. But watch what happened when Mary came. Says that, "And when she heard it, she came quickly and went to him." Now Jesus had not yet come to the village, but was still in the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who were with her in the house, consoling her, saw Mary, she quickly and go out, they followed her, supposing that she was going to the tomb to weep there. Then Mary, now watch this, when she came to Jesus and saw him, fell at his feet. See the difference? Your flesh will never fall at the feet of Jesus. It'll challenge him. get mad because it didn't get your way. But your spirit responds like Mary, and she fell at his feet and worshiped him. And then she said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. She said the same words, totally different attitude. She wasn't accusing him. She's worshiping at his feet, weeping. And she said, she just said out of that hurt, Lord, if you'd have been here, my brother would not have died. She wasn't accusing him. She was stating the truth. Because if Jesus had been there, he would have had to heal Lazarus. But you see the difference? You and I, when we come to the Lord, we can come through our spirit and our heart that loves him, and we have an audience with him. Or if we come in our flesh, you don't, your flesh doesn't have an audience because your flesh is dead as far as God's concerned. When God called Abraham to offer up Isaac, he said, bring your son, your only son. He never acknowledged Ishmael because Ishmael was a work of the flesh. He only acknowledged the son of promise, which was Isaac. So they had two different views of the Lord. And when it comes to death, which is the final enemy that's already been destroyed, Jesus already conquered death. It has no sin. There's no sting in the grave anymore. But if you don't believe in Jesus, now here's the thing. I've had to do some funerals where they didn't believe in Jesus, and I'm telling you what. They had no hope. They were just grieving and mourning because they have no knowledge of that there's life after this one. But when you go to a Christian celebration of life, it's totally different. Why? Because we are celebrating the resurrection. We're celebrating that Tabby is with the Lord. Now, I want to show you what happens when Jesus wept and when you learned what he did with his tears. Because I've had Christian, they weren't celebration of life, they were funerals. And they were Christians. But they were more carnal than spiritual. And they were almost like the world as far as trying to say, and finally say, look, Jesus is your resurrection and life. And you had to preach to them to get them over in the faith to help set them free. See what I'm saying? But Krager is an example of a man who knows Jesus. And he's the resurrection and the life. When I walked in this morning and saw him up there, just he was free from grief. And this is the point I'm going to really point out to you. So how now Jesus, look at this. When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled, and he said, where have you laid them? They said to him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. That word wept there is a powerful word because it only appears here in the Bible, and it only is in relationship to Jesus. And it means this. It means tears. He shed tears, but without grief, without mourning, without lamenting. He wept tears that he knew was going to bring resurrection. His tears were a guarantee that he was going to bring joy. He was going to change the situation. His tears were the weeping of his empathy with Mary. He loved Lazarus. He was a man like us. He wept tears because of their hurt, of their pain. He knew what it was like because he was experiencing the same thing. He entered into the weeping, but not the weeping of grief and mourning. his tears were healing. Because he knew that resurrection was on the way. I had a brother in the Lord. Him and I were on pastor staff together. He was a worship leader. And David, this has probably been 12, 14 years ago. He lost a little grandson who, his grandson was born, I forget, some type of a heart thing, and I think he was two and a half years old. And him and David were just bonded as grandpa, grandson. And I heard about it, so I called David. The minute I heard his voice, I said, David, I'm so sorry. And I just began to weep. I mean, weep. And we wept together for probably 5 or 10 minutes. I don't know how long. We wept and we wept and we wept, and tears were flowing. And finally, we got composure, I guess. And David said, if you had called me and give me some of those pat, well, you know, you'll go to him someday. He said, I'd have hung up on you. And he said, I look back at all the years that I visited in the hospital, and he said, it was all a bunch of BS. You have to know David that he would say that kind of thing. But he said, I realized I brought no comfort. I brought no compassion. I just brought, well, you know, you'll go to them someday, and they're with the Lord. And he said, if you'd have called that way, I'd have hung up on you. But we wept together, and it brought healing. It didn't bring remorse. It didn't bring grief. It released all of that. Because we wept with the tears of Jesus. The tears of Jesus are healing. Because he enters into your situation with you. Now watch this. This is not only for people who have died and are now alive in the resurrection. It's for people who have had divorces, brokenhearted, committed to an uncommitted love. Maybe your life has been shattered in one way or another. Jesus is right there weeping because he was shedding tears of healing. And when you don't know him that way, grief can see the worst enemy of, like, in any situation, especially death, is grief. I went and I did a study on grief when I was preparing for this, and grief can change people's personalities. Grief can bring bitterness and anger. Bitterness and anger and grief can bring people that they're mad at God. And there are people who never get out of grief. And it alters their life, literally. Lost a loved one, your mom, your dad, your aunt, your uncle, your spouse. But then a divorce is almost like that because you were committed to an uncommitted love. And the person that's uncommitted goes away with no pain, but the person that's committed is now full of grief and sorrow. But see, Jesus was weeping for you. And his tears were saying, I'm here. My tears will heal you. So that here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to take the grief out of it. I'm going to take the mourning out of it. I'm going to take the lamenting out of it. I'm going to take the anger out of it. I'm going to take all those effects of this situation and wash them with my tears so that you will come out victorious and you'll have none of that in you. Is that powerful? And I just know this morning, Krager has just, I mean, the man's evident, but even so, even more, Krager, those tears, you're going to understand how powerful they were in this situation. And just wash that all out. Do we miss our loved ones? Of course. My mom and dad died 6 weeks apart. And that was really hard. But the Lord came and just, you know, Do I miss him? Sure, I miss. I used to call my dad every week, and I remember after he passed away, I went to the phone. I was going to call him, and I thought, he's not there. He's with Jesus. So do I miss him? Sure, I do. But there's no grief in me. There's no pain. There's no sorrow. Why? Because the tears of Jesus, even though I didn't know it was happening, his tears was washing me, and his tears was saying, I'm in this with you, and my tears are going to heal you and bring you through it, and you will be totally free from smoke. You'll be totally free from grief. And the Lord showed me that right now, some of you are getting set free because grief has been a part of your life, and you're getting set free from that. And Krager is an evidence of that. Man, when I walked up there and saw that guy handing out notes to you people, I mean, a lot of people would be a basket case right now. Here's a man that came home and there's his bride. But you know what? I just have a belief that Jesus came down and said, let's go home, Tabby. Because his tears was shed before the foundation of the world. And those tears are healing. Some of you are being set free right now. And what you receive out of it is resurrection life. You receive new life. All of a sudden, like that grieving is gone. That's a work of grace. Because everything the Lord does is grace, which brings healing. I'll tell you what, I had never seen it like I had never seen that. But I did see this. Years ago when we were in Colorado, out in two country churches, and of course I'm a farm boy, I loved it. I'd drive the tractors for the farmers and help them brand cattle, because that's I love it. And one day I was driving a tractor. I don't know why I did this. For about 4 or 5 hours, at the top of my lungs, I just screamed out who Jesus is. And right in the middle of that, the enemy whispered and said, shh, somebody will hear you. I'm like, just a second. I'm like, and I thought, I'm out in the middle of a field inside of a tractor. I could set off a bomb and nobody'd hear me, right? You see, the enemy wants to silence you when you're declaring who Jesus is. So I'm doing that, and all of a sudden, I'm not in my tractor anymore. I'm kneeling, and there's a stream of water about 3 feet. Beautiful green grass, and it was crystal clear. It was most beautiful water. I was seeing a stream, and I looked across, and I saw a man. I saw sandals. I looked up, and it was Jesus. He was weeping. I said, Lord, you weep for me. He said, I weep for everybody that comes to me. He took, tears running down his cheeks. And he took his hand and got a tear and he put it on my cheek. He said, be filled with my compassion. I've been filled with his compassion ever since. Why? Because he wept for me. And he's wept for all of you. But those tears have brought healing and deliverance. You're free. You're free. You didn't do anything wrong. You were committed to an uncommitted love. Now you can walk in the washing of those tears. That takes away the grief, takes away the pain, takes all that out. Because Jesus' tears are healing. He wept over Jerusalem. He said, how often I would have gathered you together. What was his weeping over? I would have gathered you. I would have healed you. But you wouldn't come. I would be like a mother hen that covered her little chicks, but you wouldn't come. And he wept. Not of grief, not of mourning, but of the fact that I would have gathered you together, but you would not do it. And those tears right now, I'm telling you that the wonderful grace of those tears are flowing to you, that's saying, your grief has to go. I'm wept for you. Let it go. Let the anger go. Let the questions go. Let it all go by the, and just be washed out with that love. And I just sense the Holy Spirit said, I will set them all free if they'll listen to this. Because they'll experience the power of my life, the power of my resurrection, the power of the fact that I was with them. And my tears were flowing for them that they could be set free without any type of grief. Do we hurt? Sure we do. Do we miss our loved ones? Sure we do. But the wonderful grace of God now released through Jesus, I'm free from grief and mourning. And now I can give thanks for the power of His love and resurrection. And we can do that this morning, church. Even now, the Holy Spirit's flowing. And some of you are being set free, not just, like I said, not just from death. Maybe you lost all your money. Maybe you lost your spouse. Maybe you were divorced. Maybe whatever it was that brought trauma into your life, Jesus wept for that with tears of healing. That's a powerful scripture. Isn't that awesome? And this morning, during worship, I was back at that little stream again. This time, though, Jesus stepped into the water, and when he did, where the nail prints were at, blood began to flow and mingled with the river. And he said, my Holy Spirit brings life, because life is in the blood. And wherever the Holy Spirit flows, there's healing. Why? Because it's the healing of the life of the blood of Christ. And so He's flowing through you right now, healing you and setting you free. Whatever that situation was, could have been when you were a child. You're free. Freedom's come. Krager, you'll even be more free than you're free now. What an awesome testimony of a man who knows God. But even so, he's going to receive more of the power of that resurrection that sets you free. Maybe you did something that was really bad. Maybe you caused a problem. You know what? You still need to be set free from that. Quit condemning yourself. And let the forgiveness of the Lord bring you to the place where you can forgive yourself. That's a part of healing. Maybe you're doing something now you know you shouldn't be doing. Jesus' tears is there to set you free from that. Set you free from yourself. This morning you were talking about being like Jesus and everything. Listen, some of you know there's areas in your life you're not acting like Him. You're not letting Him pour Himself into you in that area. This is a good time to let Him do it. You sang about it. You talked about it. Those areas where you say, Lord, I don't want to be that way anymore. This morning is a good time that the grace of God can come and set you free from that, and so you won't do it anymore, because that old man will be dead and God will put Christ in his place. How much do you really love Jesus? How much do you really, really want to be like Him? When He wept for you, He made it all possible for you to be just like Him. Receive the gift of the Father, the Holy Spirit, that His blood shed so that the Spirit could come. And he's here right now, flowing, setting you free. Anger, whatever. That's not Jesus, and it's not you. Because whatever's not of Jesus is not of you, the real you. So freedom's coming to you this morning. Just let him flow through you here for a moment or so. Maybe you lost a child and you've never been able to get over it. This morning you can get over it. This morning you can let those tears just wash that all away. That child's in the arm of Jesus. You will see that child. Or children. Maybe you had more than one. This morning, the Lord wants you free from the grief of that. Or you have a son or a daughter that's not serving the Lord. Blamed yourself. Took all on yourself. The Lord wants that cleared out of you, too. Because how many of you know our Heavenly Father is perfect? Is he a perfect parent? Does he have rebellious children? Uh-huh. So it's not about whether you're a perfect parent or not. They make their choice. And even say you weren't a perfect parent. Guess what? There's reconciliation and redemption. Let that flow through you. We could have all done better, of course. You need to be free. Jesus wept for your freedom. Because those tears were healing. Took him to the cross. Took him to the crucifixion. Took him to the place where he became sin for you. So let what he did for you flow through you right now. Man, I just sense so many things, so many hurts that need to be washed clear out of your life. I know what he set me free from. I was terrible. There's freedom. Think about what our precious Tabby's doing right now. Totally free. Totally rejoicing. And we can experience that kind of freedom here. Can't totally experience it till we're with him, totally. But that freedom's available. Stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ set you free. See, joy comes in freedom. God wants you free. Some of you don't even know what joy is. You can sing about the joy of the Lord all day, but some of you on the inside are saying, man, I wish I had that. Well, right now you can experience it because he's washing away whatever causes you not to have joy. He's not mad at you. He's not going to beat you up. You can't do anything good enough to deserve anything from him, but you can yield and let him be to you all that he wants to be. Maybe there's grandmothers who've lost grandchildren. Whatever the loss, whatever the pain, let the tears of healing flow through you by the Spirit. Enter into freedom. Whom the Son sets free, free indeed. I'm just telling you, I'm seeing people set free from anger, disappointment, all kinds of things. And then there's others that they won't let you, won't open your heart because you've been hurt so bad. And the Lord wants to come in there and soften up that hard ground and pour healing into it. Some people don't know how to love. You love as best you can. But the Lord wants to so set you free that you can love with His love unreserved for other people. I've been in bondage and I've been in freedom. Freedom's better. Freedom's better. If I'm talking to anybody, I want you to stand up because God's going to be pouring through your heart. I don't have to get up and tell us what you're doing. Just that you know that, yes, the Lord's flowing through my heart and I'm going to be set free. I want all that pain and hurt just washed out by the blood of Jesus, of His loving worship. He prayed with His tears to set you free. Some of you still aren't standing. You're holding back. Father, I pray right now, Holy Spirit, flow through your sons and daughters. Wash out all that pain and hurt. Wash out all that grief. Because your tears bringeth into the place of resurrection and joy and freedom. Take all that smell of smoke off of them, of those experiences. The bondages that held them dissipate in the fire of your love. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Now let the joy of the Lord become your strength. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Some of you are experiencing the Father's love. You didn't have an earthly father that you could look up to, and right now that your Heavenly Father's revealing Himself to you. Revealing Himself, His love to you. Thank you, Jesus. Take a deep breath. Say, Father, I'm free. 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 I want you to accept that love. I'm hearing things in the Spirit. Some things I heard is someone saying, Lord, I don't deserve it. You're beating yourself up. And the Lord says, just stop and let me love you right now. Accept my love for you. Thank you, Jesus. You didn't do anything bad enough to keep His love from setting you free. Thank you, Jesus. I think there's some people, ladies, who's had some miscarriages. Lord's setting you free from the pain of that right now. Somebody here, maybe more than one, who your parents are gone to heaven, and you didn't, there wasn't a closeness that there should have been, or maybe you were, anyway, the Lord wants to heal that in you. Thank you, Jesus. And the Lord's releasing that other person from you. The one that you hurt, or they hurt you. Breaking that. Thank you, Lord. Father, release the joy. Release the power of the resurrection. Release the healing into their hearts. Here's what I saw. You take a brother or sister beside you or near you and tell them, I am free. Yeah. Because that freedom will start flowing as you give testimony to one another that Jesus has set me free. Go ahead and do that. Tell somebody you're free. Receive His freedom. Receive it. See, the Lord's removing shame of your youth. He's removing shame from you. All kinds of things are leaving right now. Thank you, Lord. Pastor Steve, you got anything? Where do we go from here? I want you to look up to heaven. I want you to shout as loud as you can. Thank you, Jesus. Shout it out.
Thank you, Jesus.
For setting me free.
For setting me free.
Amen. 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 Praise God.
Thank you so much for sharing this time with us as we have encountered Jesus Christ through the ministry of His life-changing word. If you would like to learn more about Steve Castle Ministries and Beloved Church, you can go online to stevecastle.com or belovedchurchillinois.com. You can also contact us at 815-990-0367. Always remember that you are a part of the beloved family of God, and Beloved Church is the place where you are greatly loved. Now please open your heart to receive as Pastor Steve proclaims the blessing of the Father over your life.
I pray, I declare that above all things, that you allow the finished work of the cross to bring prosperity into your finances and also divine health, prospering your body. And all of these things are going to affect you in a supernatural way as you allow your soul, your mind, your will, your emotions, and your personality to be perfected in prosperity that the Father desires for you to have. We love you, and we cannot wait to see and be with you again soon. Goodbye, beloved.